I think you people already know more than you're doing. See, so what we're going to do today is going to help you do what you know. Now, that would that be all right? Because that's what we need help to do. James 1:16. Anyone know James 1:16? Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Doing what? Deceiving who? Yourself. Do you want to deceive yourself? Do you want me to deceive you? Okay? Now, if you do not want to deceive yourself, according to this verse, what must you do? Be a doer of what you hear. You are going to hear now some word of God. If you don't plan to do it, this is your chance to leave. Because you, if you stay here and you hear the word of God and don't do it, then you're going to deceive yourself. Right? So we're going to share some word. And if you don't plan to do what we share, then now's your chance to leave. And then you won't deceive yourself. Remember Saul? Remember Saul was made king? And he was to kill the Amalekites and all those people. Remember that? When Samuel came, Samuel heard from God. And God told Samuel, "It repents me that I made Saul king. He's turned back from following me." Samuel wept all night. He figured out where Saul was, came up to Saul, and Saul says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of God." He was deceived. Samuel nailed him. "Thy what means of bleeding of the heel?" Remember that? And Saul says, "They did it, but we have." And he said again, "We've done the commandment of God." Samuel nailed him again. What did Samuel nail him with? Samuel shared what God said. When I'm helping someone, and someone comes up to me with a problem, what I want to share is, what's God say on the matter? And that's what Samuel did. He says, "God said this." And when he did that, finally Saul said, "I have sinned." And then he told why he sinned. He said, "I feared the people." You see? Not only did he admit his sin, he told why he did. And now he wasn't kidding himself anymore. And then, as he did that, Saul says, "Come worship with me." And he still wanted to be king. And Samuel says, "Nope, I won't do it. And in fact, you've lost your kingship." And that got Saul's attention. And then Saul said, "Come worship me again." And he was just wanting to worship God then. And Samuel said, "All right." And with sin comes a result. We just don't sin and ask God to forgive and then don't have a result of sin. Sin has its results. You follow that? He was no more king. And God said, "I've given it to a man that is better than you." That's what he said. Isn't that something? And that's what happens in our lives. I went out to Maryland to serve the navigators out there. And we moved out there. I had my wife, 3 daughters. The youngest was 6 weeks. I had $50 in my pocket and a beat-up car. And we took off from Nebraska to go to Maryland to serve God, look for a place to live and whatever. You know, those days, John. So we got out there, and I was looking for a place to live. Now, you had a U-Haul, a little small U-Haul with the stuff in the back. I couldn't even afford to keep the U-Haul. So I went to the U-Haul guy, and I said, "What about this?" And he says, "Put it up in the trees." And he said, "We won't take anything out of it. Nobody will use it. And you can come and get it whenever you need it." So I had my stuff up in the trees. And a guy came to me, and he said, "I'm going on leave." He said, "You live in my trailer house for 30 days. And I said, "Fine." So I lived in his trailer house for 30 days. He says, "Be out of it when I come back." And I said, "Fine. God will provide a place for us." Now, while I was looking for a place, a guy came to me, and he said to me, "If I would have been doing what God asked me to do, you wouldn't have needed to come." See, life is like that. You see, if you don't do it, God can get somebody else. Sometimes. Right? You see? Okay. Now, I'm going to say some things here now that may offend some of you. If I do, would you promise to let's make it right afterwards? I purpose to have in my heart a conscience void of offense toward God and man. Okay? So if I say something to offend you, and I probably will, but then afterwards come up to me and we'll make it right. Okay? And I can't always read what's in your mind. God can. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, the guy's praying. And he's praying. And he says to God, Lord, thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. Satan doesn't know what's in your mind. God does. And I don't. Okay? So you can tell. All right. Oh, boy. I have some sheets that I'm going to pass. Man, we won't stay close to that thing. I need somebody to help me. I need a volunteer. You can pass some of those out. And then give me some back if there's some left over. Now, what we're going to do here is cover with you a simple principle of truth in life. And if you understand it, it is so fantastic. It is so good, I hate to share it. You see? And it's really, 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 really fantastic. Now, we're covering assurance of salvation. And the idea here now, we're going to cover how to claim the promises of God. Now, if you'll stick with me, God has promised us eternal life. And then we see a verse. And this is the promise which He has promised us, even eternal life. So do you think that first statement is true? Need some more? Okay. Okay, you follow. The first statement is true? Oh, you need some more. Okay. First statement is true? Okay, according to the verse, it's true. Okay, the next verse. God commands me to examine myself to see whether I have this eternal life which He promised. This verse says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Okay? Who's to examine who, John? According to this verse. What does this verse say for you to do? You're to examine yourself. I am not going to examine you today. You are going to examine you. Okay? Now, this is so good that you'll be able to use this with anybody. It's made up so that you won't offend somebody. If you get offended, you'll have to try to, as far as the sheet is concerned. As far as me, that's something else. But the sheet, won't. Okay. Tests imply standards. Standards that can be used to measure something against. Tests imply questions. Questions whose answers can be checked against the standard. For example, if my medical doctor tests my blood pressure and says it's too high, I can say, I feel fine, so I think it's okay. Or I can believe him because he is using the normal blood pressure of a healthy person as a standard to check my blood pressure against. He knows what the correct standard is. If I go by my own standard, how I feel, I may have disastrous results later. True? Too fast? We're okay? Okay. When I examine myself to see whether or not I have eternal life, I check to see what I've done in order to have eternal life against a standard that tells me what I must do to have eternal life. There are all kinds of standards. My neighbor's standard, my church's standard, my friend's standard. God has His standard. Because God is the final judge of whether or not I have eternal life, and I want His judgment to be, yes, you do have eternal life. I must choose His standard. I check what I have done to have eternal life against what God says I must do. If the two match, I pass the test. If they do not match, I fail the test. Question? Okay. That's pretty good. You understand it? Okay, you got it? Okay. God's standard. The Bible has verses to tell me what I must do to have eternal life. These verses are promises which have condition and result. The condition must be fulfilled to get the result. The condition is a standard which I use to check myself by asking, does what I did match the condition of the promise? In other words, did I fulfill the condition of this promise? Can you follow that? Now, on the bottom of the sheet, it says, using God's standard to examine myself. So I want you to write down on the bottom of the sheet, there's not much room there, but you can do it, write down what you did to obtain eternal life. Okay? If you threw yourself upon the bed, say, I threw myself upon the bed. So I went forward in a meeting and I knelt down. Well, you went forward in a meeting and knelt down. I swung from a trapeze. Whatever you did, you put it down, okay? Okay, put down what you did to obtain eternal life. Now, see, now really be real honest with yourself. Be very clear of what you did for sure. When you write this down, I'm not going to pick them up and take a poll. See, so you, I mean, just this is between, and you keep this. This is you, between you and God and yourself. And you're writing down now what you did. When you get this, the top sheet, the top question on this one is the same one you just answered. And boy. So then you go through and see if you can figure out, and I'll help you here in a little bit. So this first question at the top of the page is the same as the one you just filled out, and then said, put an X in the blank before the statement that pertains to what you wrote. So if you said, I was consciously claiming a promise in the Bible. If you look at what you wrote, and what you wrote was, you were consciously claiming a promise, then put an X there. And if you put an X there, then write down the verse that contains the promise you claimed, include the reference, and underline the condition you fulfilled. If you did that. Now, you may have the next one. I was not consciously claiming a promise, but what I did matches the condition of a promise. You understand that? If you did that, then write down the verse that contains this promise, include the reference, and underline the condition. Are you with me? Let me give you an example. The fellow came into my house, and he was a doctor, and he brought his dad with him, and he'd led his dad to Christ. This doctor had led his dad to Christ. I asked the dad, I said, how'd you become a Christian? He said, well, I made God boss. I turned to Romans 10, 9 and 10. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I showed him that verse, and he said, that's it, that's what I did. You see? You follow me? See, he did it, but he didn't know the verse. Okay? Okay. So you may not know. Now, the next one says, I don't know whether or not what I did matches the condition of the promise in the Bible. You may not know. That's fair, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. The next one says, I believe in Jesus as my Savior, but I don't relate what I did to a promise in the Bible. Okay? Now, one of those should fit whatever you did. Right? So you can check one of those and kind of fill that out. When I keep writing, keep thinking, I'm talking to you. The mind can do more than one thing at once. So keep writing and thinking while I'm talking. I was teaching typing, and as I was teaching typing, I was talking to my students and giving them the next day assignment while they're taking a test in typing, and they'd say, you're driving me mad. But you can do that. The mind can do a lot of things. You can pray while I'm speaking, and probably some of you are. See, that's a good thing. So you can do more than one thing at once. I was teaching a Bible class. While you keep writing and answering while I'm talking, I was had this Bible class, and this one gal, she said, Mr. Soderholm, how do you help someone know that they're a Christian? And I said, well, I ask them what they did to become a Christian. I listen real closely to what they say, and then I see if I have a verse that matches what they did. And if I have a verse, then I tell them. And she said, well, I just threw myself up on the bed. She says, you have a verse for that? And I said, well, no, I don't. And she said, well, I'll find one. And the whole Bible class that we had there thought, yeah, right. You know. And so the next week she came, and they said, what are your verse? You know. And she didn't have one. But she says, I thought about it, and the person that helped me had a little four spiritual laws packet. And in that four spiritual laws, she said, when I threw myself on the bed, I did what that said. Oh, that was a new deal, wasn't it? You follow me? So when you're helping someone, you're going through something like this, I mean, it might take a minute or two. So as you do this, don't feel bent out of shape if you don't get it all in the first minute. Are you with me? Are we okay? Okay. Next. We'll go on here, and if you're catching up, just keep catching up. Having a promise about how to have eternal life and having fulfilled the condition of that promise gives one confidence that he has eternal life. If I do not have a verse with such a promise, if you do not, you may want to use one of the verses below. In each verse, underline the condition once and put two lines under the result of fulfilling the condition. John 1, 12 and 13 is underlined as an example. So here, but as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. Now, there's one line under the condition, two lines under the result of fulfilling the condition. Is there a question on that? Do you think you understand that? Okay.
You're going good. I'm not sure if there's three or not. You can check it. There's only two. Okay, there you go. Thank you.
You guys are listening fast. Okay. Everyone have one? We're okay? Okay, now this we do the exercise. Now, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So I underline once the condition. So what would I underline that? Let's see, John. What would I underline one line in this verse? No, that's what God did. Now, what I underline what I am to do. What am I to do in this verse? Believe in him. Very good. Okay. Whosoever believe in him. Okay, now what is the result of believing in him, John? Very good. So you underline that twice. Very good. Now, the challenge in life is to think. Think is overcoming the resistance through space. That's what work is. The definition in science of work is overcoming resistance through space, and the space is about from here to here. And that's what thinking is. Okay? So this is made, so now you will think. So now you look at the next one. Rodney Scott. What would you underline in the next one with one line? Very good. Very good. Two lines.
But is
past the death of life. Very good. You got it? Okay, that's the way to go. And these people that listen to that on that tape are going to get a shock. That's good. Okay. Okay. So we got that one. Now the next one. Mr. Wynn. You're a winner. Would you take the next one? Very good. Okay, the next one. And then we could also put one line, a man believes in the righteousness and the confession is made in salvation. We could do that too. Now here I confess Christ as Lord. I did not become a Christian a long time in my life because I didn't want Christ to be Lord. I was dating the woman that is now my wife, and I told her, she's playing the organ in church, and I told her that I wouldn't be able to marry her until she became a Christian, because the Bible says you Christians can't marry non-Christians. I wasn't a Christian yet myself. And I knew that. See? But I was waiting to take Christ as Lord, because I knew when I took him as Lord, that was going to be it. Right? Okay? And that's what that means. Okay. And then it says, choose one of the foregoing verses as your promise verse and write the reference here. And you may have a different verse, and that's okay. Now, see, what I want you to do now, you look at this and be very honest with yourself and see, did you do something the Scripture says in your life? And so you can say, yes, this is what I did, and now you have a promise on it. Very important. Okay? Can you do that? See? Okay, so if you have a verse, then you put it in there. You put one of these or another verse that you had that speaks on having eternal life. Okay, using the verse to resist temptation and doubt that you have eternal life. It is good to memorize the verse that has the promise you claimed in order to have eternal life, because Satan tempts believers to doubt that they have eternal life. Even after you have identified a promise verse, he comes with his temptation. You are not the only one he tempts. When he comes with his temptation to doubt, quote your verse to yourself and remind yourself that you have fulfilled a condition, that God is faithful, and has done what he had promised he would do if you fulfill the condition. So then you have a promise to claim. You understand that? Okay. Is that clear? I mean, this is so fantastic. You can't hardly stand it, right? You understand it? That's right. Okay. Now, as you've got this, see, now you know you have a verse for your promise verse for eternal life. Now, okay, you can read this one as I hand it out. I give you people credit to be able to read. You may want to pray something like this when you are tempted to doubt you have eternal life. Lord, you know my promise verse. You know I have fulfilled the condition. I trust you that you did give me eternal life, even though right now I don't feel like it. I trust your word. I rejoice that my name is written in heaven. Do you follow that? Now this is not made to help someone come to Jesus. This is after people have come to Jesus to help them get assurance that they're there. Okay? The gospel is the power of God and salvation, and we basically haven't shared the gospel. The gospel is, you know, the good news, Jesus died, buried, rose again. Okay? Are you with me on that? See, so this is to help someone find out where they are. And the Bible says that I am to check myself out so I know where I am. It's my responsibility. So each of you have the responsibility. When we get to heaven, and you'll give an account for being in this workshop when you're in heaven, I give an account for make it to you clear. You've been given an account for filling it out right. Okay? I don't do that. I'm so glad. You know, I took so many other people's responsibility for so long in my life about killing me. Should have been in a padded cell many times. But, you know, see, now I don't take any responsibility for the decisions you're making where you're sitting. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my. Okay, now take responsibility for having it clear. If you kind of come back afterwards and you say, hey, this isn't clear, Harv, help, because we'll redo it. You know, that doesn't take much of your computers now. You just push a button. Okay. Rejoice and give thanks. Rejoice and give thanks that God has given you eternal life, and you know it. Rejoice because your name's written in heaven. Remember that verse? Oh, boy. These things are written to you to believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may have eternal life, and you may believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John 5:13. Thank God as He is faithful to keep His promises. You ever do that? God is not going to give an apology to Randy for a promise He made when he gets to heaven. Is He? God is not going to take any one of His promises and say, Randy, I missed on that promise. He's not going to do that. Isn't that wonderful? Man. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world, He is faithful as He promised. There's some songs you can sing someday when you... Okay? You guys are... How's our time? I mean, we've got more to cover than we'll have time to cover, but how's it doing? It's just 5 to 11 and we go to when? 5 to 4. Look at the book. Oh, man, this is getting better and better. You guys are learning fast. My, oh, my. I was running down the road this morning, down out here running, and, man, a great big dog came out, and we made friends fast. And he was my friend, and then I came down a little bit further, and two big dogs came out, and I was glad I had the dog as my friend. Did you get one? Okay. Okay. Now, this is called the chain illustration. Now, this is so good we don't hardly dare share it, but we will. Okay? Now, in my condition up here, see, I put up here that if I use John 3:16, I'd put up here, under my condition, I'd put in there that I'm perishing and I do not have eternal life. God's promise, I put there John 3:16. Got that? My response, I believe that Jesus died, buried, rose again. I believe in Jesus. The result is, I do not perish, I have everlasting life. Got it? Okay, now you take the verse that you put down, and you go through that on there for you. Think you can do that? If you had John 1:12, my condition is I'm not a son. Promise, as many as received Him, to Him gave you power to become the sons of God. Response, I receive Him. Result, I'm a son of God. Now, if you want to know that you have eternal life, then you go, I need to know that I have eternal life, condition, God's promise, 1 John 5:11, 12. My response, I have the Son. Result, I know I have eternal life. So I use 1 John 5:11, 12 with John 1:12 to know I have eternal life. That maybe went faster and some of you will think about it. But you can think about it when you're eating or sleeping or something. Okay? So you take your verse and put your verse in there. Is there a question on what we've done thus far? Yes. My response? My condition. I look at the condition of my life. Where am I? See, if I'm not saved... That's my condition. I'm not saved. So then I take Romans 10:9-10, and it speaks about being saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So I look at my condition. I'm not saved. Then I look at what God says in His promise. Then I look at my response according to the promise. And then the result is I get the results that fit the condition because I picked a promise that talked about the condition. See? If in John 1:12, I say, I'm not a son. I'm not a son of God. See? The condition there is I'm not a son. John 1:12 promises, then I receive Him, and then as I do that, the promise of God is I will be a son. Okay? Very good question. Another question. Okay. Now we're going to be required to think. Okay? It's not going to hurt a whole lot. Colossians 2:6 says, as I receive, so I walk. What does that mean? Obedience to the own understanding of the word. Okay. What is the first two words here? as I received. So if I'm going to answer that, what do I have to figure out? How did I receive? What did we just do here in this process? We figured out how we received. How did we receive? Faith in what? God's word. I received according to a promise. I received according to a promise. I walk according to a promise. I receive according to feelings. I feel like I became a Christian. You see? I walk like I feel like I became a Christian. And that'll last about that long. I went forward in a meeting. I walk going forward in meetings. See? As I do, that's what I am. As I receive, so walk. Now, if I can figure out that I received by a promise, then I can walk by promises. If I don't know that I received by a promise, see, I tried to get a lot of people to walk by claiming promises, and they didn't even know they received Christ by a promise. Do you understand that? If you understand that, that's worth your day. I mean, it really is. Oh, man. You think you got it done? You got it? Man. Oh, my. You know, I was running track. My coach, you know, I wasn't very good. But I was enthusiastic. If you act enthusiastic, you will be enthusiastic. You believe that? That's right. And so I was enthusiastic. And I told the coach, I said, Coach, I'm winning this one for you. That's what I told him. High hurdles. I didn't see the first hurdle. And that was back when we had cinder and wooden hurdles. That hurdle was in a million pieces, and I was in cinders all over the place. I didn't win it for him. But I did it enthusiastically. I really did. And we were good buddies, you know. And you know, I went to the Navy. I got saved. I came back to this church where this coach went, and he was this principal of the school. And I went back to see my preacher that I had, and I said, man, why didn't you tell me? I had died and gone to hell, and I went to see this preacher, and there's a new preacher. And he said, I'm trying to tell these people what you're talking about. And I said, give me a chance. And he said, you can have it. And so the next Sunday, I was up telling the people about Jesus, and that coach came forward. Woo! Isn't that great? Oh, yeah. We had a good relationship. Okay, you got the idea on this. Okay, now put in that next chain down, I have sinned. Put there, I have sinned. That is my condition. I have sinned. Now, do you have a promise that talks about that? What is it? 1 John 1:9. Ken, past. Sin. What does it say?
If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. So if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin.
Yeah, that's okay. And what's the reference?
1 John 1:9.
So I confess my sin. So what is my? That's the promise. What's my response according to this verse? I confess my sin. I say the same thing about my sin that God does. What's the result of that? He's faithful and just. What will he do? Okay, I can have forgiveness and cleansing according to that promise. Now, how about that? Now, if you want to have guidance, you can go down to a local bookstore and spend all of your CDs and everything else you have on the books. Get a whole shelf of them. So in the next chain, put, I need guidance. And you put there, I need guidance. You put that on the first chain there. Who has a verse on that? Yes. Proverbs 3:5. Proverbs 3:5-6. Okay, now I want guidance. And it talks about God directing me. Okay? So what is my response in this verse? You don't know Proverbs 3:5. Oh, you do? Who knows it? What is it? Fantastic. Well, that's good. Now, so I'm to trust in the Lord with all my heart. And I'm to lean not to my understanding. And all my ways acknowledge Him. And God says He'll direct me. I don't have to buy all the books. You don't have to read all the stuff. Just do that. But now when I start to do that, it takes more than 5 minutes. was working with a guy, you know, he's, well, we'll get into that later. You follow that? So can you fill the rest of that one out now? Are we doing okay? So in life, what I do then is I look at the condition of my life, and as I look at the condition of my life, what do I do then? I phone John. Because he has the promises. He's memorized them, right? You believe it or not? He's got buckets of them. Went to a conference with him one time. He opened his suitcase and it was just full of boxes of verses. Drove me nuts. But it was good. Challenging a little bit. You think? Now, he's memorized them. And so I phone John. I say, this is my condition, John. You've got a verse. Right? And John says, yeah. And he gives me a verse. I said, oh, happy! And I apply the verse, and I'm okay. 3 weeks later, I have the same promise. And what do? Phone John. I do that 50 times, and I've got the verse. Okay? I was teaching school. I was teaching school, and I had this class of kids, and they were in a study hall that I had, and across the hall was the library. This librarian didn't know how to keep discipline. So I kept discipline from this room for her. Okay? As a teacher, I was kind to her. And I did that. One of the kids left my students, left my room, and went into the library and was disobedient. So when he came back, I said, you don't go to the library for a week. And he lost it. And he went back to his seat. And I heard a shuffle back there. And the fellow came up to me and he handed me a bomb. And he said, this kid is going to bomb you. And he had a bomb. And he was going to light it and throw it at me. I pretend like I threw it in the wastepaper basket, put it in my pocket. This kid came up and he said, Mr. Soderholm, don't leave that in the wastepaper basket. He said, they'll empty that in the furnace and it'll blow the furnace sky high. He was concerned about the furnace, but not me. Okay? I told the principal, and the principal says, oh my, was he in the act of doing it? Yeah, okay. He said, and they booted him out for a week. I went to the teacher's lounge, and the teacher says, Soderholm, if I was you, I'd leave town. He's going to get you. And this guy's dad was in explosives blowing rocks up and things. So he had he knew how to do it. See? And each day I would come to class to the school there, the teachers would say, Harv, you better get out of here if you value your life at all. I mean, this guy's after you. Now God gave me a verse in Proverbs 16:7. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. True or false? True. Okay? So I looked at here and I had an enemy, and the result I wanted is a friend at peace with me. Okay? This is a verse that spoke to it. So what do you think I did? When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. What do you think I did? No? I followed John. What would I do? No, I didn't go talk to him. What does this verse say? I checked out my ways to please the Lord. Checked the refrigerator. We had just the right stuff in the refrigerator. Checked my car. My car was just exactly the way the Lord wanted it. Checked my lawn. Everything was the way God wanted it. Checked my relationship with that person. Everything I did, I was doing pleasing to God. Okay? I was motivated. Okay? And I got challenged every time I came to school. These teachers were calling me a nut. They said, I'd be out of state by now if I were you. And they knew it, and the guy was going to get me. He came to school after 1 week, and he walked up to me, and he said, Mr. Soderholm, face to face, he's just as tall as I was, he says, I have a present for you. You know, in the military, I'd been an MP. You know, I shifted him real quick, and sure enough, bang, another bomb. So I took it down to the principal, and I showed the principal, and the principal said, was he in the act of using it? And I said, no. And he said, well, we can't do anything about it then. And I said, fine. And then guess what I did? No. I checked to see, to make sure everything I was doing was pleasing to God. That's my responsibility. What's God's responsibility? He'd become my friend. And he became my friend. Now, is that all right? Suppose you don't have peace. Anyone have Isaiah 26:3? What's that say? Okay? So I put on the left side over there, no peace. God's promise is, thou will have perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. So what do I do if I want perfect peace? Keep my mind on the Lord and I trust in him. Now those are the same reasons I don't have peace. Right? Isn't this good? Are you doing all right? Father's doing all right. You're doing okay? You're doing all right. David, have you got it?
I have it.
Okay. Now 2 Peter 1:4 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. This is 1:3. Then, whereby are given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, the world lust, there is desires. That same word there is the same word Jesus used when he said, I desire to have communion with you. There, with that, it's the same word. So, not lust, it's desire. So, in this, he says, through the promises of God, I can escape the corruption that is in the world through my desires. So I had the promises now, and this promise says I'm going to become like Jesus as I claim the promises. So I can look to any area of my life, in any area that I have. I'm weary. Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall what? They do. What? Mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be. Have you ever been weary? Well, I've been weary. Now, this verse says, I won't have to be weary. Okay? Now, I can cut that verse out if I want, you know, or I can apply it, you see? So what I do in my life then, I look in my life to see a condition. Then I look in the Bible that speaks to the condition. Okay? And as I look at the Bible and find a verse that speaks to the condition, then I look, and what do I look for? I look for my response. And many times, I don't want to do my response. You see? Let me, I put one or two here. Suppose in the first, you remember a time in your life when you didn't have an answer to something? Try Jeremiah 33:3. That's God's telephone number. Call upon me, and I'll answer thee, and do what? That's not quite all of it. That you know not. So if I got something I know not, I can call upon him. And he can show me great and mighty things that I don't know. Now when I get to heaven, and I stand before God, and I say, Lord, I didn't know something. He said, well, how about calling on me? He can show me something. Is that right? And he can show me something I don't know. And that's okay, isn't it? Oh, my. Oh, boy. In the Navy, we had a terrific Bible study board ship, and we had a very godly man leading it, and he memorized verses like people drink milk. And he was up to become chief, and he didn't become chief right away because he didn't know if he could live and stand it in the chief's quarters. And so he waited a couple of years to become chief because he wanted to make sure he could live it right for God. Well, he had a girlfriend in the States, and he just cared for her like mad. And he got a hold of her Bible, and she had bent pages in it. And he straightened out all of her pages, put a ladder on it for her, and did everything for her. And it was really a nice relationship. When we got over in Japan, she got with somebody else, and it just tore him up. And he ended up in sin. And he's up with the Japanese girls. And I went over to see him. And he asked me for my verse pack. He said, I see your verse pack. And I said, yes. And he looked at my verse I was working on. It was Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. That's the verse I had, I was working on. So if I don't want to faint in the day of adversity, I better check where my strength is. Right? God has a way of giving us verses that'll help us if we will listen. And they'll help us right where we are. Now, isn't that fantastic to have verses that will help us? Okay, now I'm going to give you an illustration here, if I can find a blank sheet of paper. I am not the greatest artist, which I'll prove in just a second, but you'll get the idea. Do you think you understand where we are? There's a question of where we are now. We understand it? Now, see, you can use the first part of this with anyone that you want, that you would like to see figure out whether they're a Christian or not. You follow that? And it's non-offensive because they're checking themselves out. You're not checking them out. Right? And you can graciously go over it, and they can figure out where they are. Now, as you do this, you see, look at Luke chapter 1, verse 3. He says, "It seems good to me also, having perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write these things in order, most excellent Theophilus." Verse 4, "that thou mightest know the certainty of the words of truth, or the things wherein thou hast been instructed." Verse 4, "thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Now, this is clear enough that you should be able to know the certainty of wherein you've been instructed. You follow that? Now, that's what we want. We want it so clear that you can't miss it. See? And we want to know for sure. See? Now, Paul, in Acts 20, 32, he was going to leave, and he says, "Now I commend you to what? Who? God, and to whom? The word of his grace, which is able to do what? Build you up and give you an inheritance among them which are set apart." So what was Paul trusting in there when he was leaving the people? God and the Word. Now, he had witnessed these men in love. When I left Australia, I got some men together and I could say that to them. I could say, "I commend you to God and the Word of His grace." I got some other people together and I couldn't say that to them. They hadn't demonstrated. They were in the Word. They hadn't demonstrated to be obedient to it. They weren't faithful. I couldn't say that to them. That'd be foolish. But I could say it to someone who had demonstrated where they were. I mean, that's true. See? I just about went nuts trying to get unfaithful people to do those things only faithful ones would do. Boy, did I work on that one. I'd get people out of bed. 4 o'clock in the morning on this ship, I'd say, "Would you do Bible study with me in the morning?" I'd say to this guy, and he'd say, "No." I'd say, "Well, how about 4 o'clock? I'd say, "I'll wake you up. This is the best thing in the world. You can't miss it." And before I got through, he was agreeing with me against his own will. And then I knew where he bunked, and I'd go get to his bunk, and I'd put my hand under the covers, get in on the inside leg, get his ankle, and pull it out, push it down, and push it up. And he came out. Then he'd get his Bible. I got my Bible, and we did Bible study. From 4 to 5. Then I'd get another one. And he'd be out. 7 o'clock at night, I had another one. 7 o'clock, they're not in bed. But we're steaming out in the middle of the ocean. He's on the ship. I'll find him. Right? But he's in the flick. They're showing a film at night as we're steaming. And he's in the film. So I go up the row and I say, "Hey, Fred, we're doing Bible study." And he says, "Shh." I said, "Fred, you promised to do Bible study. Come do Bible study with me." And you go, "Shh, shh, shh." Somebody said, "So, Rome, you make a better door and a window." You know from the other guys got him in their way. See? And he said, "You're embarrassing me." I said, "It doesn't embarrass me a bit." I said, "You made a promise. Come." So he'd get up and we'd go. And we'd go do Bible study. Now, one day on our ship, a little colored fellow up in the mess decks accepted Christ. And he got so fired up for Jesus that he didn't know what to do. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, he went up and we were in port, and he woke up the executive officer and told him that he had to go back to the United States and get his wife out of the bars. And he wanted to leave now. 2 o'clock in the morning. If you're in the military, that doesn't sell. The executive officer called the medics and asked him to put him in a straitjacket and take him over to the psychos. Well, the word got to me, and I went down, and I had a room where I prayed, so I was praying, and finally they came in to get me, and they got me, and they say, they got Jonesy. Harv. And so I said, okay. So I'm coming down the hall, and there's this guy, and he was a wiry little whippersnapper, and they couldn't get the jacket on him. See? And so they were working at it. And I come down the hall, and he says, now here comes a Lamb of the Lord. That's what he says as I'm coming down the passageway. He looks at me in the eyes and says, hi, Jonesy. And he says, now here comes a Lamb of the Lord. And I say, hi, Jonesy. And he says, look at what they're doing. I says, Jonesy, I said, straight jacket didn't hurt anybody. Well, that's fine. He says, oh, okay. So he stood there and they put the straight jacket on him. You know? And then the guys came to me and they said, you better go with him. You know, they saw that. And the guy comes up to me and he says, hey, they're collecting for laundry tomorrow, 35 cents a week. And he said, they may keep you, Harv. So they gave me one in the back, you know, because they were taking him. They thought they'd keep me over there, too. So they took him over. Well, we were in Japan then. And in Japan, there, we had, we'd go over on the beach from the guys off the ship. We were leading people to Christ. We'd go over and meet with the missionaries because the missionaries were so discouraged. They weren't leading anybody to Jesus, and they were having a terrible time. But we'd go over there and have meetings with them, and the missionaries would go, woo, you know, and they'd see people saved, and they would see these new guys crying, and they were just excited. And so we had a great time with these missionaries. Well, we got over there with the guys from the other ships, and this guy looked at me, and he said, Harv. And I said, yes. He said, we got a semaphore off your ship that they took a guy to the Met, to the cycle. I said, yeah. They said, I thought it might have been you. You see? And I thought, that's the way I was living for Jesus, you see. And this Christian thought, the guy thought that they'd picked me off. And so then I went back that night to the ship. And I thought, if my Christian buddies are thinking that of me, I just may be over a hair. You see? Okay? And so I thought, hmm. And so then what I did is I went to my little room I had again. You know, and I went to this little room and I got out my Bible. And I said, I'm reading my Bible, Lord. And if I'm doing something that I shouldn't, show me. Or if I'm not doing something I should, show me. And I was going to just read, read, read. And you know what I came to? I came to 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. And I read that verse, and I said, God, you don't mean it. So I read it again. I said, nobody I'm working with is faithful. You know? So I read it again. Boy, did I have a lot of time. You know, because I quit meeting with them. Because God said to work with faithful men. And so then I started to work with faithful men. Now, how about that? Now, God says to do that. Now, when I did that, that changed my life. And I didn't end up in the padded cell. Close, but I didn't end up there. You see? Isn't that fantastic? Okay, now, that was a promise that God gave for me to do. And in life, boy, that is not too good, is it? Let's see if we can beat that. We might not be able to. These pencils may not be. Can you see that? Okay. Now this, above the line, are my experiences in life. And what I have here anybody have an idea what this is? It's a pump. Okay? And that's water underneath there. Okay? Now, I'm glad you have a sense of humor. Now, I have experiences in life, okay? And when I have experiences in life, I have 1 John 1:9 down in my well. And so I sin. And I pump my pump. And what comes up? 1 John 1:9. And I put 1 John 1:9 on my experiences in life, and I claim the promise, I confess my sin, and I'm okay. Okay? Now, what happens in life? I have an experience up here, and my well's dry. And I pump. What do I do then? Call John. Right. Why do I call John? Because he's got a well. Okay? Isn't that good? Now that is super simple, isn't it? What do you think of that? Does that encourage you to load your well or not? And you know what happened? Someone will phone you. And they won't have to phone John. Isn't that good? Are you excited about that? Okay, you got that? Now let's look at Isaiah, Jeremiah. Isaiah 23:22. We're going to put this in the old well. Jeremiah 23:22. What does that verse say for me to do? Okay. Now, before that, what am I to do? That's right. Whose counsel? God's counsel. So I stand in God's counsel, and I'm going to have the people hear what? His words. Okay? In my chain illustration over here, I've got some people disobedient. Right? What do we want? Obedience. Right? What does this verse say for me to do? Stand in God's counsel and cause God's people to hear His words. So I'm working with His dad, and this son is just a bozo. And so his dad comes and he wants help. And so I look at the dad and I said, are you really wanting help or do you want help? And yeah, he really wanted help. And I say, well, the problem is with you. And he says, what do you mean? Well, I say, you tell your son this, tell your son that, tell your son that. And I say, the Lord asks you to listen to him a little bit. The Lord asks you to be kind to him. The Lord asks you to be a dad to him. And you've been so busy that you haven't been that. And now, at age 14, you want him to do that. And so he says, well, what? And so I said, well, build a relationship. Get with him. He says, why can't his mother do it? Why can't mom do it? Why does it have to be me? I said, what did I ask you when we started? He said, you asked me if I wanted to do that. I said, well, what are you talking about? Do you want mother to do it or do you want you to do it? He said, oh, that's right. And we go back and forth. Then it's why it had to be me. Son comes to me and says, life is miserable at home. It's terrible. So we talk about his problem. I said, well, your problem is you need to serve your parents. He said, why does it have to be me? Mother talks to me. This is miserable. I said, what's the problem? I said, well, you have to change. He said, why does it have to be me? It's kind of the way it is, isn't it? One day the son came to me and he says, I want to be a disciple. I said, you got to be kidding me? And he says, no, I mean it. I said, the parents told me that you couldn't even stay in the crib and you've never been obedient since. And I say, now you're going to be obedient? He says, yeah. He says, I really want to. I said, give me a break. He says, no, I do. I said, all right, how many pints of blood is this going to take? You know? And so we worked it out. And he kept his mind on that until he got halfway home. That's right. Now, let me share with you, this verse is so good, it's hard to share. But look at James. It's about chapter 3 in James. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. Remember James 1:22? Just being deceived? Okay. When I get bitter and envy in my heart, what is going to be a result of that? According to this verse. When I have bitter envy and jealousy in my heart, according to this verse, what am I going to do? Arrogant. What else? I lie against what? I'll lie against the truth. See? This child is going to do that. He's going to lie against the truth. Now, I can have promises that can help me in this, but the solution may take a long time. John told me one day, what goes up brick by brick must come down brick by brick. Have you heard of that? And that's true. We had a man stand up here, and he stood up here, and he was, I think, 70 years old. Where I work in Nebraska, I work with a farmer, and this farmer drove up from Nebraska all the way to Oklahoma City on the way to go to Florida. And he had listened to a tape of Gene Ward, and he liked it so much, he says, I've got to meet the man. This farmer. When I studied with this farmer, he was an alcoholic. I studied with him for 3 years with the whiskey on top of the refrigerator and another year with the beer inside. And I never talked to him about it. And he became a Christian, and he is a dynamic Christian. But he's got a few problems. But he's going great. He comes up to see Gene Ward, and you know what? Gene Ward had time for him. And I never even phoned Gene. And he came back, and he was so excited, he just about to go through this roof. And he says, I asked Gene this question, and this was what he said. You know, he had a verse. You know that, don't you? Verse. And he says, I asked this question, and this is what he said. And he had verse. And he was just ready to get exploded, you know. Oh, the man alive, you know. Proverbs 22:29. See a man diligent in what? His work or business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before me. That's Gene Ward. See a man diligent in business. He'll stand before kings. He won't stand before mean men. And his words didn't fall to the ground. Right? You look at that and you think, man alive. But he's operating in the promises. I mean, you ask Gene Ward a question, and what does he give you? He gives you a verse. And more than likely, the verse will have something to do with what you ask him. Now, isn't that good? Have you ever heard him say, use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without? My car had 250,000 miles on it, some. And I told my daughters, it was snowy, it's time to quit. Not time, okay. We will. I mean, you can leave if you like. We 255 miles, and we lived on a hill, and I told my daughters, I said, there's a stop sign at the bottom of this hill, and it's icy. Don't slide through that thing. There's no excuse. We know it. So I slid through it with my car. Just in time to catch a brand new truck that was loaded, and he hit me in the side and knocked me up beyond the neighbor's telephone mailbox and in between the trees, and I mean, he totaled the car. And I had I saw him coming, and I didn't have my seatbelt on, so I was able to get across the seat and hold myself, because if I'd stayed where I was, that would have been history. I'd say, keep your seatbelts on, but this time I didn't. And so I was like this, and I cut my jacket and that thing, but to see if I was okay, I jogged to the junk man. And I thought if I could jog to the junk man, I didn't see the doctor. Now, that's not a good way to do things, but that's what I did. Okay? The next car I got, I got 440,000 on. I was going across a bridge, and a guy came over a hill, loaded with grain in his grain truck, more than the six-wheel type truck, and he come screaming down, and he judged it so that I got over the bridge, then he was going to pass me. He misjudged it. And it was a one-way bridge. The guy that was with me thought the bridge went in. I mean, he just catapulted us. So we were going about 60 or so, and he was going about 75 probably. He's a great big truck. I mean, we went, boom, and it totaled that car. But we were using it up, wearing it out, making it do and doing without. Or else do without. Do you follow me? So Gene does that. He gives you an idea, you know, and it's from Scripture, and it works. And that's a good idea, isn't it? Have a question on anything we covered? Use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. Proverbs, he would probably come from Proverbs 22:6. No, not 22:6. The borrower is servant to the lender. Pardon me? 7. Proverbs 22:7. Yeah. See, if I end up operating in a position where I do not have, then I serve those that do. You understand that? See? And so then what I want to do is I don't want to be there. So what I do is I make it do or do without so that I don't end up there. And that's the motivation for it. See? And that's... Okay. Now, people I need to apologize to will over here afterwards, okay? And we'll be all right, okay? Are we okay? All right, well, we'll give thanks, and we've covered more than you came for, okay? Father, we thank you for your promises. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. And we thank you for your word. And we thank you for this time, and we give you praise in Jesus' name.